Amen. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, Lord willing. The next time we're here on Wednesday night, we'll get back into 1 Timothy. But a simple thought here tonight, I want to give you about a Bible character that you may not have heard a lot about. I've never heard a whole lot of preaching about this man, but a very important man in the Word of God. And we're going to look at a truth here tonight, Lord willing. Exodus 31, let's stand if you're able, and let's read down through verse 11 tonight and see what the Lord has for us. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 1. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its furniture, and the laver and its foot, and the cloths of the service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee shall they do." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, the good singing stirred our hearts this evening. Thank you for the time of prayer. Now, Lord, help us just a moment to bring to light this great truth in these verses. Encourage your people tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I want to look at this man tonight, found in verse 2, by the name of Bezalel. And my, what a strange name that is. And if you look into the Bible and read your Bible much, you'll find there's a lot of strange Hebrew names in the Bible. Strange to us. I guess our names are probably strange to them. But I want to just zero in on him. There's a lot we could say about these other people that are in the text, and I will mention just a little bit here. But my thought tonight is this, simply just the blessing of Bezalel, the blessing of this man by the name of Bezalel. Now, what I want you to see tonight is that this is a man that God used in a tremendous way. But I want you to notice he was not a Levite. He was not a priest. He was not what we would call today a preacher or a prophet. He was not a man like Moses or Joshua necessarily that had the same office and the same position. But yet he was a very, very important man found in the Word of God. And Bezalel represents basically anybody that's in the family of God. Bezalel represents anybody that God has saved and God has called out of a life of sin and placed in the church, in the family of God, and then given them different works and different characteristics and different things that they can do. Matter of fact, all of us tonight should be able to learn from this man, Bezalel. And I want you to see tonight just how important that this man was. Now, in the Old Testament, worship was a little different than the way we have it tonight. Back in the previous chapters, you find all of the instructions that God had given Moses on Mount Sinai concerning the tabernacle and how that everything had to be set up. And God commissioned this man by the name of Bezalel to do the work, very important work, in the tabernacle concerning the things of God. And I'm going to give you about three or four things tonight about this man and just encourage you and myself also that we would be like this man Bezalel. What a blessing he was to God and to his people. Now, in the first couple of verses of this chapter, we find his call. In verse number 2, we find the person of that call. The Lord speaks in verse 1 and said, "See, I have called by name Bezalel." Now, this man's name, Bezalel, means in the shadow of God. When I think about him, let me ask you this tonight. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I just want to ask you, how many of you know about this man? Just raise your hand. hand real quick. Not trying to embarrass anybody, but if you look around, the majority of the congregation doesn't know about this man. You know why? We don't hear much about him. There's not a great deal said. There are some things said, but we don't hear a whole lot about him. And this was a man, according to his name now, the Hebrew names meant something. This was a man that was in the shadow of God. He was not in the limelight. He was not the pastor, if you will. He was not the evangelist. He was not the great preacher of his day like Moses and like Joshua were. You read about Moses and Joshua. You read about Caleb, some of those men, many, many times in the Word of God. We all know about them. But here's this man, Bezalel, that we never hear a whole lot about. But God said, I called you by name. And his name meant under the shadow of God. This was a man that operated out of the limelight. Boy, I'm telling you, that's where the real work is done in Christianity. And I believe that's where God is pleased in Christianity. I really believe when we get to heaven, and I thank God for every preacher, I thank God for every evangelist, I thank God for every missionary, those that God has used greatly in mighty ways. We could say some names tonight that everybody in the congregation would know about. Men that have preached all over the country and had famous messages and tremendous impacts on people's lives. Thank God for all them. But I really believe when we get to heaven, things are going to be a little different than what we think. I believe there's going to be a lot of those that feel like they were the best and the greatest that God had, or maybe going to be somewhere over in the corner why God's rewarding men like Bezalel that we've never heard much about. So you find God knows him by name, and he calls him, and he deals personally with this man, Bezalel. And I want to say to you tonight, God knows you by name. God wants to speak to you personally, not just saving you, but God wants to call you to serve him. God wants to give you something to do within the work of God, within the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. The greatest privilege that any of us could ever have in this world is to work for the Lord. Outside of being saved and born again, the greatest opportunity in my life was when God allowed me to begin to work for him. And I tried to start working for him even before I became a preacher. And I tried to teach Sunday school and lead singing and pretty much whatever my pastor wanted. I wanted to be available. I wanted God to put me in the work that he had me to do. So tonight I want to encourage you about this blessing of Bezalel, that God has something for you to do within the body of Christ. So he deals with the person. And in verse number 2, notice this. Here's a message within itself, but I'm just going to touch on it tonight for sake of time. In verse 2, I also find his pedigree. Did you notice our text? Did you happen to see who Bezalel's grandfather was in verse number 2? He's a man by the name of Hur. How many of us have heard about Hur? Amen. He was one of those men there in Exodus chapter 17 when the children of Israel had freshly come out of Egypt and they were going through toward the promised land, and the Amalekites came from the backside, type of the flesh, and boy, the flesh will sneak up on you every time, and snuck up on the children of Israel and began a war with them and tried to take them out. You remember Moses was up on the hill, and Moses was there, and there was Aaron and Hur, and Joshua was in the valley, and Joshua was leading the army and fighting against the Amalekites. And the Bible said that Aaron and Hur held up the hands of the man of God. And I've often wondered, just looking at this, I didn't take time to try to compare dates and timeline, but I don't know that Bezalel was even around at that time. But if he was, could you imagine him looking up on the hill and seeing Grandpa being a blessing to God's man? Grandpa in the service of God. That's probably very well the reason why God called Bezalel. Can I just throw this message in tonight? This one won't cost you anything. I'll just hit it and we'll go. Mom and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa, if you want your children, grandchildren to serve God, best thing you can do is serve God. Amen. If you want them to follow right and do right, best thing you can do is to get in the work of God. Let them see you doing that, and it will encourage them to want to do the same. So he had a great pedigree. He is the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And notice something else here. Not only his person and his pedigree, but we find now God in his own heart and in his sovereign will, he has a purpose for the man Bezalel. Look in verse number 3. The Lord said, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Boy, we need that tonight, amen? You say, preacher, I'm not sure whether I need the filling of the Spirit. And we're commanded in the Scripture, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. And that is not a second working of grace. My pastor one time, somebody asked him, said, preacher, do you believe in a second working of grace? He said, I believe in the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. And I'm telling you, we're leaky vessels tonight. And we have to continually be going to the Lord and be getting filled with His Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I do not believe the Bible teaches a one-time feeling. I believe it is a continual feeling, not F-E-E-L. That's what a lot of people are looking at, the feeling. But we're talking about F-I-L-L, the filling of the Spirit of God. So here's a man, Bezalel, that God fills him up. And I want to remind you tonight, God doesn't fill us just so we can shout and have a good time. He fills us so that we can do something for Him. He imparts His Spirit in our life in a mighty way so we can be empowered to serve Him. So the Bible tells us here, He's filled with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Would you agree with me tonight that God makes everybody different? If we had time to go around the sanctuary tonight and talk about our likes and our dislikes and our skills and our weaknesses, every one of us tonight are different. God made us all different. One of the tragic things about some Christians is trying to be somebody that they're not. Trying to imitate someone else. Listen, God never made two people exactly alike. God has all in our life, every one of us, God has a work for us to do. And He's made us with different ways and different abilities and different things that He's put in our life. So God sees Bezalel. He knows how He's made him. And He tells us here He has understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. The Lord has a plan for Bezalel's life, and He's got a purpose. And I want you to understand tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a purpose. God's got a plan for you. A lot of times we think, well, God only uses the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and the deacons and the singers. No. We're going to see this tonight. God uses all kinds of His people. He equips them and then calls them to get in that place they're supposed to be and do a mighty work for God. And your responsibility and my responsibility tonight is to seek the Lord and let Him tell us what to do and then get busy doing whatever He tells us to do. So Bezalel is a man tonight that is definitely called by God. Notice, secondly, something else here about this man whose name means in the shadow of God. Notice his craft. Do you find it? In verses 4 and 5, God has so equipped Bezalel in an unusual way. Again, we don't find him dealing with the Word of God. We don't read in the Scripture where he takes the Scripture, the Word of God, and divides it and proclaims it to anybody else. He's not we don't know, he may have been, but we don't read about him being a deep theological student of the Word of God. He's just a man that God has equipped with some great things that he's going to do for the Lord and for His people. So notice this craft. I want to give you two things here in verse 4 and 5. In verse number 4, notice the mental skills that God has given Bezalel. In verse number 4 said, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. What does the Bible tell us here tonight? In verse 4, the Scripture tells us that God developed and created the mind of this man Bezalel in such a way that he could devise cunning works. He was an inventor. He was a man that if he saw a slab of steel laying on the ground, he saw a great tool out of it. You and I might have walked by and said, there's a piece of steel, it's worthless. Bezalel would have said, oh, no, I got something real good in mind for that. He's one of those carpenters, you know, that just you see something, the natural man sees something, and we don't see anything good out of it. And Bezalel says, no, I can make a great thing out of that. You see, he was the kind of man that God gave him a mind to be able to craft things. I'm telling you, that's important in the work of God. Now, I'm not taking away from the spiritual work. I'm not taking away from the study of the Scripture and the teaching and the preaching and all that. But what kind of church would we have tonight if we didn't have those that were skilled? What kind of church would we have tonight if we didn't have those that could build things? Those that could craft things? I've got a friend of mine tonight, and I was talking to him and he was telling me about some things that he needed to do, and telling me about, he's a carpenter. I mean, he's an excellent carpenter. He's into that trim work and all that stuff. I never was good at that. I worked with guttering. If you had paint and caulking, you could fix anything. Amen. You can't do that in trim work. I mean, it's got to be precise. It's got to be right. You got to know exactly how to cut that angle and measure that angle and figure that pitch and the bevel on that. And my friend's like that. He's a tremendous carpenter. And that's how Bezalel was. He was a man that his mind was so gifted by God that he could create things and devise things. Can you think about when the tabernacle was built? Can you think about, they didn't have a Lowe's or a Home Depot. They didn't have an Amazon to order. Man, isn't that amazing? You ever believe it'd be something? I'm telling you, you can order anything and everything you want on there. They'll deliver it to your front door. Amen. That's amazing. I'm still shocked by stuff like that. It's amazing. Some people order their groceries that way. Amen. One of these days, I don't know what it's going to be. But they didn't have those things back then. They didn't have those conveniences. And what they had to do is take the raw materials of whatever they had around them and shape and craft and create them into the things they needed. And if you've ever done a detailed study on the tabernacle, it was a tremendous piece of work. I mean, it was amazing. Nothing like the temple that came on a little later, but in its day and in its time, I'm telling you, it was a beautiful thing and a very costly thing. And all the furniture that was in it here that we're going to look at were things that were amazing that they took out of that desert, out of that wilderness, and they created it for the glory of God. You know who did that? A man like Bezalel here. So you notice tonight God gives him mental skills. Listen, there are some people tonight that can think things. And you know, a lot of times, here's what we do if we're not careful. A lot of times we discard the physical attributes that God has given us. And I don't think that's right. Now, I realize we have a flesh nature, and I realize we must walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit's got to lead us, the Spirit's got to be in control. But God, the Bible said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you with certain physical attributes so that you can take those physical attributes and serve Him. You take every one of you that play an instrument tonight. God gave you that talent. I've always wanted to play a banjo. I'm telling you something about a banjo I like, but I never could play one. I tried. I can play, pick a little bit of rhythm on the guitar and the bass guitar just a little bit. I never could get a banjo. I couldn't get that roll with my fingers together. I'm telling you, that was the hardest thing. I wanted to do that, but God didn't let me do that. There's some of you tonight, you can do that. Man, you can pick up an instrument. You can pick up a mandolin or a fiddle. They don't even have frets. That blows my mind. One thing about a guitar, I can look at the fret and kind of know where I'm supposed to be. They don't even have frets. You just pick them up and take off with some of those things like a fiddle and no frets on it. And boy, people can grab those things, make beautiful music out of that. Where did that come from? That came from God, amen. God gives those talents. God gives that mind. Think about the architectural minds in our world today. Think about some of these bridges that you cross, that the spans that they span with steel. And not too long ago, we were up through West Virginia and came down through the New River Gorge. And I'd never been through there and seen that bridge and heard about it. So we got out and went out there a little ways, looked at that bridge. That's amazing, amen, that somebody come up with that and put it all together and it didn't fall. Wonder who the first person was that drove across something like that. I don't know. But it's amazing that God puts that in people's mind. But you know what, tonight, you're that way. You may not be an engineer, you may not be a musician, but God's given you something to do. God's given you a talent. God's equipped you. God uses your personality. You know, one thing it took me a while to get a hold of as a preacher, especially as a young Christian, it took me a while to realize God uses different preachers' personalities. If we're not careful, especially here in the mountains, because this is the way we're all raised, if we're not careful, if another preacher doesn't preach like our favorite preacher, then we won't think he's called to God. We if a man gets up and preaches a different style, well, bless the Lord, I don't like him. You know, he's not. No, God makes men different. There's men all across this country that God has put in different little places and little niches in this nation and all across the world. world, different personalities. I know of a man that pastors up in the area of Boston. I don't know him personally, but a friend of mine was telling me about him and how intense it is. God knows I couldn't live there. God knows if I lived in a city like that, the Lord knows what little bit of spirituality is in me would be long gone. I can't handle that. I couldn't handle the traffic. I was in the military. I had a gunnery sergeant that was from Boston, and I'm telling you, he couldn't say hello to you in the morning without cussing you. I couldn't handle that. The Lord knows that's not where I need to be. But you know what? God's got men in places like that. They're doing a great work. Hey, we support a man, Brother Stephen Brock. Tremendous work there in Salem, Massachusetts. I mean, he's in the middle of the devil's crowd. He goes out in the fall and preaches to those in the middle of those witch things, whatever they have, those big conventions. He gets right out there on the street, preaches to them, and they curse him and spit on him. And he takes it. God didn't make me that way, amen? But God made him that way. And God put him in that place. And what I want to say to you tonight, God will give you skills personally, and it's up to you and I to figure out what God's gifted us with and then get busy doing the work that God's called us to do. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody handles the Word of God. Not everybody's a singer. But God has something for you to do. And verse 4. We find the mental skills. In verse 4 and 5, we find the mechanical skills. Notice what he said, gold, silver, brass, in cutting of stones, to set them, in carving of timber, to work all manners of workmanship. You ever watch somebody like that? I've watched some stonemasons on the job before. Man, they can take a chip and hammer, and they've got an old rock in their hand, and they're looking at that wall, and they'll have several pieces of rock in there, and they'll need a certain rock to fit a place, and they'll pick on it a little bit here, and they'll turn it and they'll hit it. Next thing you know, they put that rock in there and it looks like it was made for that. You know how they got that mentality and that mechanical skill? That was God that gave them. Hey, there's some of you here tonight that are mechanically minded. God give you a mind to work on things. God give you a mind to understand the four-stroke engine and the two-stroke engines and things like that and all kinds of different mechanical things and those CNC lathes and all those things that are just amazing that we have nowadays to make things. God has given some people that kind of mentality. So you see, not only the mechanical skills, not only the mental skills, but God gave Bezalel everything he needed to accomplish the job he called him to do. Do you know that tonight? If God wants you to do something, I'll promise you he's given you the ability. He's given you what you need. God has made some people tonight that are just encouragers. I've known some Christians tonight, they didn't get up in front of anybody. They didn't sing a song. They didn't preach a message. But man, just being in the house of God, they were encouraging. Had a smile on their face, had a positive attitude. Always knew how to say the right words at the right time. God has made people in so many different ways. And Bezalel tonight is a picture of that individual that God had a specific purpose in his life. You see his calling. You see his craft. But look at something else tonight. In verse number 6, notice God gave him some companions. He said, "And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted." Boy, this verse right here really caught my attention. Now, the Bible lets us know, first of all, in verse 6, about his companions here. He lets us know something about their hearts. Notice this. Don't miss this tonight. In verse 6, he said, "And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom." Now, notice this. It's almost as if they've had a prepared heart to have wisdom put into. The thought here in verse 6 is they're already wise-hearted. They've already prepared themselves in the work of God. They've already made themselves available. They've already studied what they need to study and thought about what they needed to think about and prepared themselves. Their mindset is on the things of God. Their mindset is on their purpose. And God said, "I've taken those wise-hearted people," and he said, "I put wisdom down in their heart." Isn't that amazing tonight? You ever been around somebody that's just wise? I mean, you ever been around somebody that it just seemed like they had the answer for whatever was going on? You ever been around somebody in a certain particular trade or some kind of thing that it seemed like they just knew? God just gave them that wisdom about that. They knew how to work in that. They knew how to deal with that. You see, God gave Bezalel here some companions that would be a blessing to him. Is that not a picture of what the church is, a New Testament church? We are companions tonight in the family of God. And that's why I don't ever tell anybody, go join the church that you want to join. That's you won't find that taught in the scripture. You go to the place where God puts you, amen? God doesn't put everybody in the same local church. You know why? You'd have all the certain people in one church and nobody in the other. God will design a church if you let Him. And if we'll let Him, God designs a church and He adds two people to that church with different types of abilities and trades and different kind of ways of doing things. God knows what kind of church is going to be what. God knows the church is hard and how He can use that church. And when He adds those people to that church and then those people get in and start doing what God's called them to do, then you've got a well-oiled machine that'll get the work done for God. See, that's why it's so important tonight to not be a deadbeat Christian. That's why it's so important tonight. Every one of us need to be in our place. Every one of us need to be doing what God would have us to do. Every one of you young people here tonight, God's developing you right now to do something in the body of Christ. Hey, there are those tonight that understand aircraft. God's given them the ability to work on aircraft. God's given them the ability to fly aircraft. And they're in the ministry. They go into the jungles and they go to the foreign lands. Brother Todd Bell there in Maine, God gave him the aircraft and he's been able to use that and fly all over places there in Maine where you couldn't get to hardly in any other way and get the gospel and plant churches. What is that? That's somebody that had a wise heart, and that wise heart was waiting to be filled with wisdom. You know, I'm convinced that the reason why we don't see as many wise Christians as we used to is because we don't have many wise-hearted Christians. If you're not wise-hearted, God's not going to put wisdom in a heart that's not wise. God's not going to waste His wisdom on somebody that doesn't care about the things of God. God's not going to waste His wisdom on somebody that doesn't have an interest in serving God. But if you'll have an interest, and if you'll open your heart to God, and you'll let the Word of God mold and shape your heart, God will put wisdom in your heart, and you can be a companion like these two were with Bezalel. Isn't that a blessing tonight? I'm glad that God gives companions. I'm glad I haven't had to do what I've tried to do for God's glory. I'm glad I haven't had to do it alone. I'm glad I've had my family. I'm glad I've had my church family. I'm glad we've been able to work in this thing together. I was at the hardware store the other day, and brother there at the hardware store, he said, "How long you been at Little Ivy?" And I said, "Just a little over 10 years. He said, "Man, that's amazing." I said, "It is. It seems like it's just yesterday." And I got to thinking as I left there about what a privilege it is to be the pastor here, and what a blessing it is that God's put us together. Amen? God's given us one another companions. And let us. I think about some things God's let us do as a church. Amen? I mean, we're getting ready to get here, go off here in the morning and go halfway across the country and do something for the glory of God. I never dreamed that years ago. Some of you never dreamed that, amen? But God's given us workers to go, and then God's given us faithful church members here that have helped us be able to go. You may not be able to go on a particular trip, but thank God you're holding the rope. You're helping. You've helped financially. You've helped prayerfully. There's a lot of churches tonight that if they had a group of people wanting to do something for God, they'd have a bigger group of people that try to hinder them. I'm glad we don't have that here tonight. I'm glad that we can work together for the glory of God. That's what Bezalel had. Their hearts, they're helping. Notice what he said in the last part of verse number 6. He said, "I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Get that now. Bezalel is the man we're focusing on tonight, but he did not do it alone. Now, I know a lot of times when a church is a strong church or accomplishes something, a lot of times the pastor gets the credit. But I'm going to tell you something. Behind every good pastor is a better church. Amen. I've said this for years and I mean it. Behind every good man is a better woman. And behind every good pastor is a better church. I know a lot of times as pastors we may get the spotlight shined on us, but I've got enough sense to know tonight that this church is not what it is because of me. It's not what it is because of anything I am. It is us working together for the glory of God. And I believe Bezalel knew that. He knew that God was going to use him. And God gave him some companions. Isn't it a lot better? You ever been digging a ditch before? I know that's about a thing of the past with all of our equipment that we have. But I remember the days of just having a shovel, pneumatic, and a 6-foot iron bar and rolling them rocks out of the ditch and digging. I'm glad we don't have to do that as much now. Have you ever been digging a ditch alone? Man, that's discouraging, amen? I mean, that's tough. That's hard work. That's labor. And you want to quit. You'll dig a little while and you'll look around and think, man, this is killing me. But isn't it good when somebody comes and gets in the ditch with you and starts working with you? Isn't it good, whatever you're doing, when you're laboring, somebody comes and picks up one end and helps a little bit? And it's just something about working together that'll encourage you to get the job done. That's where Bezalel was at. He had companions. And I want to give you one more thing, and I'm going to wrap it up here tonight. Notice this in verse 7 through 11. You may say in your mind right now, what is the big deal about Bezalel? Why would anybody preach on Bezalel? What in the world did he get done? Well, I'm glad you asked. Would you look at these next verses here down through verse 11? I'm going to give you three things here about his contribution. Now, if I were to ask you tonight, say, somebody tell me the most important character maybe in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Give me the most important character. Somebody would say, well, Moses. Rightly so. Moses was a tremendous character. Matter of fact, he was the writer of the Pentateuch. Somebody might say Noah was an amazing character in the book of Genesis. Yes, he was. Somebody might say, hey, Adam was amazing. Without Adam, without Eve, we couldn't have anything else. And you could go on and on and on. But what if I told you tonight, hey, Bezalel was real important in that Old Testament economy? You might say, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, look at this right here. In verse 7, I want you to notice his contribution to the place. In verse 7, the Bible said the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon and all the furniture of the tabernacle. Do you know that without Bezalel, there would not have been a tabernacle? Without a man like Bezalel and these other men that are mentioned here, God's people would have had no place to come and worship. Now, many of us were not here when this building was built back in the mid-90s. I remember when it happened. I was going to church at Arrington Branch. I was in the county, but I remember it. But I don't know all the details that some of you do. Some of you were here, but many of us were not here. But guess what? Somebody before us answered the call. Somebody before us followed God's purpose. And you and I get to come into a good building tonight and sit down. I've had many, many preacher friends that have visited and said, brother, God's given y'all a tremendous building. And I have to bow my head and say, yes, He has. God's been good to us. Amen. Good to us. I know a man tonight that borders on the state of Ohio and Kentucky, a tremendous pastor. But he is in a building that every time it rains real hard, his basement floods. And they have to pump water out of that basement. And he would love to have a building like we've got tonight. He'd love to have property like we have tonight. God has been good to us. But you know what? Somebody was faithful for us to enjoy the place we have tonight. Somebody was willing to serve God. Somebody was willing to stay with the stuff. Somebody was willing not to quit for us to be able to come into this good building tonight and sit down. Our forefathers, years ago, many of them, they met in brush arbors. Now think about this tonight. I don't want to be too lengthy here. I'm about done. But think about this tonight. What if today, when you got done working, you knew you were going to have to hitch up a team, get in your wagon, ride down to the brush arbor, and it 80-some degrees outside, and sit on an old stump or a log and hear the Word of God preach? How many would we have had tonight? Amen? I don't know. If it happened in this day, we wouldn't have had many. Maybe in that day, they were more used to it. But look what God's given us tonight. He's given us a place. Come in, sit on a padded pew, turn the air conditioning on, the lights are right, this is right. Why is that? Because somebody was a Bezalel. Somebody was willing to do what God called them to do. And it made a difference in the place. They had that tabernacle because of men like Bezalel. Secondly, notice another contribution, not only to the place, but to the people. Look in verse 8 and 9. The Bible said, and the table and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, the altar burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot. All these instruments, if you study your Bible, especially study the tabernacle, all these instruments were essential to worship. See, the people could come into that outer court, but that's as far as they could go. If they were not priests, then the high priest could only go in that Holy of Holies once a year and not without blood. So because of Bezalel, not only was a blessing of the place, he was a blessing to the people. The nation of Israel got to get in contact with the God of heaven because of a man like Bezalel. I'm sure many times they said, boy, we got a good high priest. Man, I'm telling you, he's a stud. stuff. He's the greatest high priest we've ever had. We got some good Levites working in the temple and the tabernacle and carrying all the things. Every time that tabernacle was moved, it was up to the Levites to move that tabernacle. They had to roll it up. They had to put it all together. They had to get two groups of them had carts. One group, the Kohathites, didn't have carts. They had to bear everything on their shoulders. Boy, there's a message with that within itself. Amen. They'd run the staves through the furniture, bear it on their shoulders, and they'd take off down the road with the ark and all those things on their shoulder. But you know what? They'd have never enjoyed that worship if it hadn't been for the men like Bezalel. They'd have never been able to meet with God if it hadn't been for men like... Think about this tonight. Think about this. What has God done for you and your family in this church since you've been coming here? What has God... Have your children gotten saved? Have you gotten prayers answered? Have there been messages or Sunday school lessons that have impacted your life? Well, you know what? A lot of times we say, well, thank God for the preacher and I'm thankful for that. But what about the Bezalels? Amen. What about the ones that put it all together where we could be here tonight? That's what I'm trying to get across to you. He is a blessing for the place. He was a blessing to the people. And then let me give you this last thought here tonight. Verse 10 and 11. Look at what is mentioned here. And the cloths of service and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place according to all that I have commanded thee shall they do. Now, if you study this, we don't have time to go into all of it tonight. This is a long, long study. I love it, but haven't studied it in a while. You study the garments of the high priest. You study all the linen that they had to wear and all the things they had to do. The gold that was woven into that high priest's garment. The breastplate that was made that had the 12 stones of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The Urim and the Thummim and all those things that they had that made up the mitre on his head. Everything that went along with that. The curious girdle. All that stuff. Men like Bezalel made it. Men like that put it together. And here come the high priest. Here come the sons of Aaron. And you know what? They could walk up. They could hold their arms out. They could put them garments on and go about their priestly duties. You know why? Because of men like Bezalel. Amen. You know why I can come in this place and preach tonight and there's 50,000 things going on that I don't have to worry about? Because of the Bezalels in this church. Amen. Because the ones that take care of the things that are going on here to make a service happen. Amen. The ones that come early and do things from time to time and take care of things that need to be taken care of. Repair things in the house of God that I don't have the knowledge to repair and others don't have the knowledge to repair. He was a blessing not only to the place, to the people, but he is a blessing to the priest. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the men like, not just men, I'm preaching on Bezalel tonight. The ladies, you know you have a place too. Hey, how many times have we sat down on this property and ate a tremendous meal? Amen. How many times have we went over and ate a tremendous meal and got up and many of us walked outside and looked back in a little while and the floors were clean and the tables were clean and the decorations were up and the dishes were washed and everything else. You know what that took? That took some ladies like Bezalel. That took some young ladies and young men and people getting in and working and doing what God called them to do. Amen. I just want to encourage you tonight. Be a blessing like Bezalel. I'll tell you one thing tonight. If you want to really fall in love with your church, if you really want to have peace in your heart as a Christian, get involved with your church. I do not understand how people come to church and never get involved. I don't understand it. Now, I realize as age comes on, there's things you can't do that you used to do. And you've got to let it go. Let somebody else maybe with younger legs or somebody else maybe with a clear mind do it. But listen, there's still something for you to do. From the youngest to the oldest tonight, we can all be a Bezalel. We can all get in our place and do our job and do our work and give our expertise and our ability and our knowledge and our craftiness, whatever God gave us to do. We can get in there and do that. And if we'll do that, we can enjoy what they enjoyed around the tabernacle because of men like Bezalel. And I just want to encourage you with that tonight. What a blessing for people like Bezalel.